Welcome to the Spooky Chris Podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. Oh, I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris. These are short little bites of weirdness. And today, a little information. You can find more about me and my stories and everything else at SpookyChris.com. That is my little online place where I hang my hat. I am an author, filmmaker, artist, and general ne'er-do-well. And hey, how are you? It's been a minute. I thought I've written about it a lot. I've done a little podcast about it. Self-publishing and everything else. And I thought I would talk for a couple minutes. Oops, sorry. Kind of about the process. So the process I go through for anyone that would be interested out there in getting their work out. Now, to me, obviously, like the first step. So we're gonna assume you have something. Like a collection of poetry, a collection of stories, or some manner of a book, be it fiction, nonfiction, whatever. We're just going to assume there's a finished product. The most obvious thing is that, of course, that is the first thing you need to do very, very first thing you need to do is make sure, you have something that you feel confident in and want to put out. Not that it's necessarily the most polished or finished product per se, but that this is something that you believe you want to release, that you're that passionate about it. Because that's a big thing, is that the passion towards releasing it, because it is a long haul and a big, difference between self-publishing and publishing traditionally is that you are, generally speaking, in this alone, unless you are paying for a bunch of support people, which is an option, of course. But unless you're doing that, you are in it alone. You are your cheerleader. You are your support system. You are your driving force. So you have to make sure that you are in it to win it, as it were. So whatever you're going to put out, you have to feel in your heart like this is what I want to put out. This is something I believe in, and this is what I want. So that's really kind of the first thing is you've got to be ready. Because if you're not ready, it's you might as well just kind of sit on it a little bit and just kind of build yourself up. Because, like I say, unless you are some kind of overnight sensation or have lightning in a bottle, it is a long road. And there's no point in starting it just to kind of give up on the work and on yourself and just to not see it through. The interesting thing about publishing the way I've done it is that there is a quick turnaround, though. If you have things, say I had a collection today or whatever, I have a book. I say collection because I've been writing for a while and I have 20 stories. 20 stories sitting around. Technically speaking, if I worked my butt off to really get this thing done, I could get it out, get it up in a week, less than. It's just a matter of doing the work. So there's a quick turnaround, and that's vastly different than the publishing experience, which is you're waiting, you hurry up and waiting, you're waiting for the whomever is in charge, like that company or whatever, to have what their schedule is, what their timelines are, what target date they have for releasing. So you get your part done and then you're waiting. So there is that about self-publishing that it is a very quick turnaround. So it's very rewarding in that sense. But again, putting it out is the kind of almost the least of the work. Cause as you're writing and everything, that's going to be, for a lot of us, that's the most fun. That is where you get your joy and you're doing it and you kind of lose yourself in the story and in that world. It's afterwards that you kind of have to go, oh, geez, I have to make this all make sense. Because after you're done, you need to, So we'll go back to we have a work. whatever it is. So we have this thing, and we feel strongly enough, we want to put it out. Well, after, you know, again, if it's poetry or whatever, it's collected into a grouping. It's you know, at least in a folder together. You have to make the decision, are you going to pay for someone to edit it, or are you going to edit it yourself? You know, I edit it myself because I know my voice and what I want to say. You know, programs nowadays are strong enough in grammar and can catch kind of misspellings and this and that. So I feel pretty confident in doing it myself. Saying that, I had someone edit my book, A Shadow Over Ever, and they did a fantastic job. Like, she did a great job. And if money wasn't an object, I would go with that all the time, because it really does help to have other eyes on it, if nothing else, to make sure it makes sense. You know, if you're not confident about this, if you don't, you know, you have never done this before, you definitely want other eyes on your work, because you want to make sure you've been living with this for however long, you know, for potentially years, and you know it too well almost. So you want to have someone who has fresh eyes and a fresh perspective, and is going to come in and is going to look at it and go, oh, okay. It's going to ask questions. More than anything else, it's the questions that you want them to ask. Is like, okay, well, what do you mean by this? What does that mean? What did you mean here? I'm working on an edit of a book right now, and I got to a new chapter and I'm reading it, and I'm like, wait a minute, what was I doing here? And I read it again and read it again, and I think I understand now, and I don't agree with myself. I don't agree with how I was writing it and what I was writing about, like, at that moment. So I changed it. I threw that out and redid that part, and you know, I like it better. But we forget sometimes, you know, unless it's a short story you were able to sit down and write in one fell swoop, you know, what you sat down to intend to write and what you wrote aren't always the same, and we change. How you perceive whatever you're writing can change. That happens all the time for me, where I start something and then I come back to it or whatever, a longer piece, and I'm inspired by other things or influenced by other things, and it changes my vision. But you want to make sure that, to me, so the hardest, you know, hardest part for a lot of people is writing it. And I always just say, just do it. Just get down your ideas and just write. It may be sloppy, it may be messy, it may be clunky. Just get it done, write it. And when you're done, you sit on it for a minute. I sit on it for a minute. So that's my process, as I come up with an idea, I write it, and I sit on it. I'm like the book I'm editing right now, I wrote in April. So I've sat on it for a few months, and I'm returning to it, and I have a little fresher gaze on it because I've written other things and kind of had a minute. But that lets me come at it with fresh eyes, but it also lets me come at it and, again, look through it and go, oh, what's this? What's that? Like, I always consider it like bridge building, because I'm building bridges between ideas and thoughts that maybe, you know, at the moment I was super inspired and wanted to get it down, and I need to kind of step back and go, okay, well, that's great that they have a hot air balloon, but where did it come from? Why did they have it? You know, what's going on? And that's an important part. And again, an editor can help you find that. So if you can afford it, editors are always the way to go, just because it's great to have other eyes. You can have at least someone else read it or look through it. If you are really confident in your voice and in your writing, you can do like I do and just self-edit again. If it goes wrong, you're the one to blame. So it is not necessarily what I would recommend, but you can do it. That's what I do. But I've been at this 20 years, for good or ill. And if money was no object, I would have editors. Alas, we are not in that world. So I do it myself. I would recommend at least thinking about looking into getting an editor. Prices will vary. They'll charge by word or whatever. And you'll want to know kind of how they edit. My friend that did mine, and I did pay them, went through and they highlighted areas in red, and they with fixes, and I could, you know, either go with it or not. And it kind of gave me their idea, you know, what they're thinking and kind of how they're doing it, their method to their madness. So that helped. And that was a really pretty big book. So it really did help. I'd written the book over the course of many years, and it was, I needed fresh perspective on it. So it was great. And that will take time if you go through an editor. Even if you edit yourself, it'll take time because you really got to go line by line, word by word. But like, it will take time to get that process done. For me, I consider the edit kind of it's a whole fixing process because I'm rewriting as I'm editing. I'm adding things. I always add things. I'm subtracting things. You know, it's kind of a rework of the whole thing. Every author has their methods, and you'll hear 100 authors and hear 100 different ways. This is how I do it. You are going to find that the best way that works for you is what works for you. That just like if you write in the morning, if you write in the evening, if you whatever, you know, how you write is personal to you. So you need to follow your instincts, because a lot of this is instincts, and you need to follow that and not betray yourself with that. So once you get the edit done, or while you're going doing it, you've got to start thinking about form factor. And I'm going to go, like I say, we're talking about self-publishing here. I go with like who I go through, and I'll say I go through Amazon, because that's who I've gone through all the time. It's Kindle Direct Publishing. There's Lulu. There's Lightning Source has one. I forget their name. There's now, but there's other avenues. Make sure that if you are paying, that someone is doing work. Otherwise, you know, a lot of it's like you're paying for services, which is fine, again, but just don't go with one of those folks that is, oh gosh, we're going to publish you. We're going to pay you $100, and then we're going to give you, as if they're a traditional publisher, but they hold you hostage with your book. I have a friend that did that, and it was terrible for them. They didn't have ownership of their book for years. And the company just had no interest in doing anything with the book. It just kind of sat dormant. So it was terrible. But you want to figure out where you want to put it out through. And kind of if you want a Kindle or, you know, an ebook, you know, paperback, hardcover. These are all the questions you need to ask yourself, because that will determine where you're going through. A lot of them now will do hardcovers, but that's going to be cost prohibitive. So you really want to figure out kind of what you have, if you want to do, you know, with the format. So after I put my first book out, I did chapbooks as a way to kind of just collect stories and just to kind of have something to promote and to sell at events. And again, it's interesting. There's so much that goes into this on a tertiary level. Because part of this is going to be, do you want to be an active participant in the selling and all of this? Or do you want to be passive? Because if you're going to go do shows and everything, you really do need to, in the back of your mind, start thinking about how to, you know, promotional items, as it were. But we can circle back around to that at the end of this, I guess. So, yeah, like, my recommendation would be, so if it's your first book, I would go with a paperback. The cost for you is going to be way lower, you know, when you're buying copies. The list price will be lower, so it'll be lower for sales. And frankly, here's the thing. Unless you have some kind of social following, or you catch lightning in a bottle, you know, you're building an audience, you know, so you need to be mindful that you are a name that they don't necessarily know. Whomever is finding your book, however they're finding it, they don't necessarily know that they're going to get something fantastic yet. You know, the hope is that you can prove that, you know, that's all in the sales and how you promote it and how you market it. And even, you know, how you display it. So you really want to have an approachable price. I always try to price to sell. I would rather sell more of something at a lower cost than sell a few of something at a higher cost. That just makes more sense to me. You know, do it however you like, however makes sense to you. you know, going through whomever you go through, they're going to have certain standards and certain, you know, price ranges, we'll say, because there's a point where they have to kind of to make whatever they need to make, going through Amazon and the Kindle Direct Publishing, they basically see how the format of your, you know, the size of your book, the type of book, you know, if it's paperback, hardcover, and then how many pages, and then they give you a range of what the minimum sale price can be, and say work from there. So I just recommend going with a soft cover and going with a price that is you can live with, that's not going to kill you. You know, if it's like, oh great, I make 10 cents a book, but isn't going to put off potential customers. And again, this is where Kindle and ebooks come in, is that, you know, you can kind of use those. I always look at those as kind of a loss leader, where you can kind of price those whatever. And again, if you know, for $1, $2, $3, $4, like, someone may take a chance on you. And even if you do the kind of things where you give away copies, you can kind of make it so that folks take a chance on you, where, you know, $15, $20 for a book, that's a little more money. But that is a big part of it, though, is the price and kind of all of that. So now we get into, so you've written your book, you've had it edited, or you have edited it, you are happy with it, it is ready to roll. You know, okay, I want to do a soft cover book. And then you kind of have to start figuring out in your mind's eye, what does your book look like? Is it like a larger form factor, is a smaller form factor? Like, you, this is where you really, you know, the art of putting a book together comes in. And this is where you're kind of, you can get real stressed out, or you're going to get real excited on how this happens, because this goes into the layout and stuff too. And there are templates for layouts. They're finicky, to say the least. You know, in the course of our years, my wife, my now wife, at the time she wasn't, helped me lay it out in InDesign, you know, and that really went well. I do all these on my own now. So I just use a template and throw them in Word, or like Google Docs or something, just for ease of use. But it will, you have to understand that there's a lot of finagling you're going to have to do, and a lot of moving around. It is not an intuitive process necessarily. And you have to remember, what are the things that make up a book? What makes your book? So you want a title page, you want page numbers, you know, simple stuff that you may not think about. You want page numbers. You want to make sure that the book is laid out the right way. So, and how I've done it, and you know, through the Kindle system and through Amazon, the first page for your layout, that is the first page in a book you see. So it is facing you, and you always want, like, the book to start that way. And you got to think of, like, how do you want your book to look? Do you want new chapters, you know, starting on the inside left page, or on the right page, you know, or the left, yeah, left. And you always want to start things on the right. That's how traditionally we see it. You can do it any way you want. Font is a big deal. How big is that font? What font do you want to use? You want to have it easily readable, but you want to have it so it fits the tone. You know, you don't want to have a font that is so flowery or cursive-y that it's hard to read, but you want to have it so it fits. So if you really love that kind of a font, you know, whatever program you're using, you could use those for the title page, for the headings, for the chapters, you know, for something special. The start of, like, a line, you know, could use that, something, you know, you get to play around with all of this stuff. But again, you have to think of the fact that you are not the consumer. You are making this for a consumer. You want them to be able to easily read it, easily handle it, easily take it where they need to go. So you want it too big, you don't want it too small, you want it easily readable. You want to make sure it's laid out, like, say, title page, if there's chapters and you want people to, you know, be able to know what chapters, like a chapter listing, if you have an introduction, page numbers, I always have kind of a thank you page where it just kind of says, hey, blah, 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 I do other books, blah, 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 you know, just an outro basically, as the last page. You want to make sure you have all of that stuff. If you need to cite sources at the end, you know, it's again, this is where kind of an understanding and knowledge of books and just kind of knowing what you're doing. Say you're writing a horror novel or a book of horror shorts or whatever. You want to just look at what's out there and to see how they do it. Just so you can kind of mimic that to varying degrees. It's going to have your voice no matter what. So, but at least you want to mimic what someone else has done so that it's marketable. So now in the next step, you've done that. You need a cover. I do my own covers. I had someone draw a cover for me once, and I had someone do some art zazzle to a cover of a photo I did. Otherwise, I like to do my own covers as part of my creative process. I dabble in a lot of creativity, you know, creative outlets, and I just like having another outlet, and it's a good way to visualize what I've written. It's another challenge, so I do it myself. I take my own photos. I did my own art for a long time. I do my own photos now. But there are programs. There are, you know, you can use there are free covers out there. You know, like KDP has free covers they offer. You got to remember that they're, you know, you want something that tells people what your book is, grabs them, keeps their attention, it piques their interest. So it may be worth your while to hire someone to create a cover, because, you know, you got to figure it's whatever the image is. It is your name. It is the name of the book. It is a spine. It is a back of a book. It's a blurb. And you've got to come up with a blurb, too. And this is all part of the layout. And layout can be a bear. This is where a lot of the patience comes in, is there are templates, you know, going through KDP. And again, I use that as an example, not as like a salesman, but because this is what I use. So I'm just going with what I use. Whomever you use, if there's a template to use, you can use that. And it's great because, so I personally use, like, I download the template for whatever the size, and you need a template for whatever size of your book is, physically and width wise. And I do that. And then I take whatever photo and I throw it all in. I throw the template into Microsoft Paint, and I throw my photo in there, and I resize it, and I cut out the template parts and fill them in with the color of, like, I take whatever the main color of my cover is. And this, I'm just telling you how I do it. So I sample that color and I do all of, like, the back and the spine with the same color. So it's all kind of a uniform kind of color system, color pattern, palette. And then I start putting, like, you know, the text in. Again, you got to figure out the font, what fits. You want a font that, you know, again, kind of matches the subject, but also kind of is close to what you have for the title page. Just, you know, for aesthetics. And then you got to figure out a blurb. You want something that short, sweet, and that grabs somebody. You're selling your book. What is your book? Like, you need to live with this. I had a hard time for a long time with that because I still can be too wordy. You're not summing up the whole book. You're doing them broad strokes. Don't lie about your book. Don't steal other people's, you know, how they explain their book. This is your book. How do you sell it? And again, keep it simple. And you got to have that on the back. And then you marry, you know, you kind of figure out mentally how you're marrying the cover and the book itself. And my friend, you may have a book on your hands. It can be a quick process. It can be a slow process. A lot of patience comes into this. I've had to go through over and over again, trying to fix these covers. And it's a lot of it is just, it's the sizing. It's the sizing of the cover. Sometimes the internal file, usually if you use their template. I don't have a problem. It's just making sure that it looks how I want the book to look. It can screw up the chapters and the layout and stuff. So that's, you just got to go through it. Go through it and check it out. But the cover, it's a lot of sizing more than anything else, and it's pain in the neck. But you can cheat a lot of it, and just kind of like color in areas that they're like, oh yeah, you're a 0.125 off or something. Just like you can color in areas, like border areas, with that accent color, to cheat it a little. But it's, I mean, one person can do this. You can do this. You can do this on your own, from start to finish. You can do this on your own. I do this on my own. My investment for my last book, zero, other than time. With KDP, you buy the books that you want to sell, and then they take a cut of your sales. That's how it works. That's how most places are gonna have something where they're taking money off a back end and they're charging you to get copies. Makes sense to me. And then I can, when I have them in hand, I can price them however I want. Higher or lower or whatever. And like I say, this is the hard part, because this is now great. You have a book in your hand. Congratulations. Celebrate it. Frankly, in some way you should celebrate it. If you are on social media, which I don't have, but I have a website, you got to tease this thing. You got to like tease the book, tease the name, tease the cover, tease a sample, like tease as much as you can without battering people on the head with it. Tease the price release, tease links to buy it. Because you want, this is the beginning of the book's life. And to me, the book doesn't die until you die. And it's hard. It's a hard road, because you've got to keep like, okay, how do I get this out? Do you want reviews? You can try to get them in the hands of reviewers, or give them out to people, or sell them to have people review them. Don't have people like, I mean, and that's a dodgy thing, is you don't want people reviewing it to like, oh, it's 5 stars, it's the best book ever written, it's great. Because you don't want fake reviews. You want sincere reviews. Like, it doesn't mean that your best friend is going to like lie, but you want sincere reviews that aren't going to make it seem as if, because maybe you did write the greatest book on earth, but if there's 3 or 4 reviews and they're all 5 stars and no one's ever heard of you, and it's like, oh my God, best book ever, greatest book, this is so meaningful, it's going to look like your friends did it, whether they did or not. So it's, you want to be careful on who you target to kind of do your reviews. But you want to make sure that you promote it on blog posts, on your website, a website helps. You can get a free blog site and just kind of cheat it that way. Or if you want to use your Instagram as your author home, you just have to have some place to direct people that they can contact you, that they can track down links to your work, and that is your home base, your hub. You are now a promoter. You are promoting this. I think it's good to do shows. And I think it's good to do varied types of shows. But I think it's good to do shows because it keeps you working. It keeps you in front of people. And when you sell to someone you don't know, it's amazing. I mean, that is, to me, that's what matters, is you're selling to folks that don't know you. They have no investment in you. They're using their money to buy your product. So it better be good. Selling to friends and family is great. It's amazing. But selling to strangers who have zero investment in you is where it's at. And it helps to be in front of them. It helps to really kind of get a feel on how to sell it, shows you, okay, great, I'm forgetting that my book does this. I forget this. Oh, I want to emphasize that. Like, and seeing you in person, that's where you're going to get a lot of sales. Being online, unless you have like a really active presence or you really connect with folks, you're going to have a hard time, because it's like, imagine going into a library and seeing all these books and someone has to find you and your book in a library, so it's not easy. So doing events, doing shows really starts to move the needle, gets traction. And you just want to keep at it. That's the hardest part, is to keep at it. And, I hope this isn't your last book. You know, if it is, then that's all right. Like, it's great that you produced something, but I hope it's not. And you will learn from the first book this more than you can imagine on how to do it, how to promote it, how to do the whole process. But you will, this book is part of you now. This book is your part of that, whatever your legacy is. This book is part of who you are. And you want to be fair to yourself and fair to the book. And you want to make sure that you promote both. You and the book are kind of linked. And it's a very fine line. You want to promote it, but without beating people over the head. You don't want, like, every 2 days, buy my book. Buy my book. Hey, everybody, I put a book out. Buy my book. And it's hard not to want to do that when you've put your first book out. It's huge. It's great. And people are excited at first, but then they're like, okay, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's cool. And it's hard to deal with that. Like, that kind of, like, you feel like it's rejection, but it's not. It's just like, oh, yeah, no, I support you. It's great. But, you know, I know. And you'll be disappointed by how few people you know buy it. A bunch will, a bunch won't. It just is what it is. Much like you don't support every aspect of their creative endeavors, they're not going to support everything of yours. They support you, and that's the most important thing. But all of the stuff you do, they may not support. Que sera, sera. So it's a fine line. You got to learn to walk it and just kind of check it out. It never hurts to kind of connect with other authors and just see how they do it and pick their brain and just kind of make that connection. You know, writing's a lonely thing. So it's good to have people that understand that and that kind of like, oh no, I got you. I get it. You know, and I, for whatever this is worth, I hope this kind of walks you through some of that process. It's not scary. I promise. I wish more people would just do it. Just write. They talk themselves out of it so much, like, oh man, I have this great story, but just write it. You got nothing to lose. If you do nothing, you've already lost. Even if you do nothing with it, you could put it online for free. Just like, get it out of you. You can fix it later. Just write it and you can get an editor and fix it, make it pretty. But I hope this meant, you know, this inspired you or kind of lit a fire in you. It's a cool process. It's a hard process. It's cool. I'm still writing. I put out 20 some books. We all want to find a publisher that supports us and pays the bills and takes us out and sends us to conventions. You know, we all want that. But the reality is that very few authors make their living writing, like writing their craft. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just, you know, nothing to get upset about. This is the way it is. So, you know, there are definitely breakouts and you can make some money at this. And you can make money, like legit money. But just don't expect that you're going to be the next whomever big bestseller. Because I've known bestsellers and they still had to kind of struggle and still hustle. And things didn't get easy and they didn't suddenly have pockets full of money. Even though they had New York Times bestseller. So it's the reality. And getting to know other authors really shows you that. What it is an aspect of yourself that you get to explore and share. And hopefully you make some friends, you make some memories, and you make some extra money, which ain't going to hurt. So there you go. Hope that helps. My name is Chris Ringler. This is the Spooky Chris Podcast. You can find all my stuff at spookychris.com. I've done over 100 podcasts, done a couple short films, over 20 books. You can find info on all of that stuff at my website. And sign up even for the newsletter. Find out everything I'm doing. I've got a couple projects in the works right now. Stay active, stay writing, stay weird, stay safe. I will talk to you soon. Take care of yourselves.